If you check your hippity-hoppity off to a different land boarding pass, normally it's dated Tuesday. That's normally when our bookstores come in and share with us the best and the brightest of books for any given week. Because of the fun drive and because even though we were done by Tuesday, we moved it to today to give ourselves plenty of time and let the dust settle from the fun drive a little bit. So we are thrilled that the folks from the Chatham Bookstore join us this morning to present a fine list of books for these days of fall. We welcome Sherry Bauer Mayorga to us with us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe.
And Thomas Chulak joins us as well. Thomas, thank you very much for being here.
Good morning.
All right. You're doing double duty here, tag teaming. So where would you like to begin?
I'm going to start with a book called What I Found in 1,000 Towns by Dar Williams.
I love this book.
And it's called A Traveling Musician's Guide to Rebuilding America's Communities, One Coffee Shop Dog Run, and Open Mic Night at a Time. And this is a woman who not only tours and performs, but she asks her questions when she goes into these communities. And she's learned what keeps communities growing
or not growing.
She does talk about that. She has her own vocabulary that I found very interesting. I learned a lot from. One word is positive proximity, which is the belief that living alongside of each other can be positive. So she visits places like Plainville, Pennsylvania, Moab, Utah, Beacon, New York, and she mentions WAMC.
Yes, she does.
As one of those networks that keep vitality and a array of voices in our...
A very quick plug, but on Monday's show, at this exact time on Monday's show, she is going to be our guest talking about the book. And then as a bonus... Her great group Cry 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 is going to go across the street to the Linda and perform for us.
So fantastic!
That is to the Dar Williams Hour, and that'll be on Monday, right here on WAMC during the roundtable at 11 o'clock. So
highly recommend the book.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's really beautifully written.
So I'll pass it on to Tom.
Excellent, yeah. Tom, you're up.
Yes, I wanted to just bring to your attention the new book by Mark Helprin, who was the writer of The Winter's Tale.
Oh, we like him.
He's an amazing writer. Every paragraph is one that you have to slow down because his imagery is so vivid. And so he's a tremendous writer. The book is entitled Paris in the Present Tense. And it's the story of a man in his mid-70s, a Jewish Frenchman, living in the city of Paris. His name is Jules Lacour. And he is orphaned at 4 years of age as a result of his parents being killed in the Holocaust. He's a musician who loves to play the cello, but never really fully was able to become the musician that he thought he could become. So there's a sadness in that. He's just been widowed a few years before, and he has one daughter, a grandchild, who has a terminal illness. So the story is woven together around all of these events in his life. He's living in the present tense. He's living in Paris. And there he is. And he's trying to find the meaning of life. He gets infatuated by women and then begins to try to reconcile that with the fact that his wife is deceased. He has an obsession with exercise as a way of coping with life. He has a feeling of hopelessness in the face of his grandson's illness, and he struggles with his mediocre music career. This is beautifully written. It's a tale of struggle of growing old, but has a dramatic twist at the end that I'll leave the reader to get to when they purchase the book.
It's Mark Halperin, and the name of the book is Paris in the Present Tense.
The other book that I'd like to talk about is Franklin Fuhr's new book. He was the editor at the New Republic, and it's a book called World Without Mind, The Existential Threat of Big Tech. Really a fascinating book. There's been mixed reviews on this book, but But I found it to be fascinating because I loved his passion of articulating what he saw going on in big tech, and what by big tech he means Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Apple. What's happening in our country? He divides the book in three parts. He talks about the monopolies of the mind, and he's saying that basically these companies are beginning to form or have formed monopolies that are beginning to control knowledge and information in our culture. He talks about how we got to this point, particularly connecting the counterculturalism of the 60s to the whole culture of big tech. Fascinating interchange between counterculturalism and the big tech industry, particularly as it relates to the emphasis upon connection and how connection is so important. Then he moves to the world without mind. He gets into the idea of how does something trend, and why do authors and publishers and writers try to get trending, and what happens when you focus in on trending as what's most important in your writing?
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. And then he talks about how advertising and publishing or content has blurred. There was a time when they would separate content from advertising in the publishing world, but it's now been blurred. And he talks about the death of the author. What a chapter, the death of the author. And then finally, he says, we got to take back the mind, which is the last section of the book. He says we're going to need regulations of the internet, especially to protect our privacy. We're going to need to resist the monopolies that are in our midst, that are machine and data driven. And he had an interesting exploration into how when processed food came into our culture, gradually people began to shift to more organic food. He says in the midst of processed information, and he doesn't use that word, but it's processed information, we need to be challenged to return to nothing else but paper, he says. And I want to end with just one quote from this chapter on paper. He says, paper in the form of books, magazines, and newspapers is the scene that we can inhabit. Is the place beyond monopolies where we don't leave a data trail, where we are untracked. When we read words on paper, we're removed from the notifications, pings, and other urgencies summoning us away from our thoughts. The page permits us, for a time in our day, to decouple from the machine, to tend to the human core. These are sweet words for an owner of a bookstore.
Absolutely.
Because we are part of the paper rebellion.
The name of the book is World Without Mind, The Existential Threat of Big Tech by Franklin Fior, and good stuff, very good stuff. Excellent.
Next up is a collection of short stories by Tom Hanks.
That Tom Hanks,
called Uncommon Type, Some Stories. I was amazed to learn about this book the day after I saw the documentary California Typewriter, about a typewriter store in California, and a central person, speaker in the movie, is Tom Hanks, who has a fetish, typewriter fetish. So he's written 17 stories, all of which include a typewriter. But I don't know whether I'm swayed by the fact that I know he's an actor, but he sets up some incredible scenes. Each story is zooming in to a very different set of circumstances, and at first seems very superficial, and then he plunges deeply into the relationships and thoughts of each character. Probably the most representative story of that illustrates what I've just said is something called Christmas Eve 1953, which sets up a cozy Christmas Eve scene. And in the middle of this story, we get to eavesdrop in on a conversation between the father of the household and a buddy of his who calls every Christmas Eve. They were in World War II together. And then we get into a conversation of two soldiers who've experienced incredible grief and live with the horrors of war. This man observes human life, and so it can see that in every dialogue and his choice of language. It's a great read, and there's something that weaves throughout this collection, which is a newspaper column written by a man who would like to return to the past of newspapers and typewriters, and he pits the typewriter against the digital telephone. And that's quite an interesting little race.
Tom Hanks, uncommon type.
And I'll just close with two children's books.
All right.
The first is The World Is Not a Rectangle, a portrait of architect Zaha Hadid. She passed away in 2016, an Iraqi British architect, and she was the first woman to win the Pritzker Architecture Prize. It is a beautiful story. It starts with her childhood and observing the marshes, sand dunes, ancient ruins of Iraq, and how she takes that into her architecture. Maybe people have seen the Guangzhou Opera House, which is like a big clamshell. And singing it inside is like being inside the clamshell. So she is called the Master of the Curve. And the book is beautiful. She's always in action. The illustrators really captured her dynamism and intriguing pictures of her at work. So you're sitting with her at her desk, mulling over drawings, and then also with her in different scenarios. She's always on the move. And I highly recommend this book by Jeanette Winter.
The World Is Not a Rectangle.
Last, Another Woman in Motion, The Statue of Liberty. This is called Her Right Foot, and it's a meditation on the Statue of Liberty's right foot, which shows that this 450,000-pound, 150-foot woman with a size 879 shoe is moving, something we don't know, and there are chains at her feet, so she's broken free.
Oh.
Dave Eggers.
Where's she headed?
This is the question in the middle of the book.
All right.
She's headed out to meet people who come to our shores.
All right. So she doesn't. It's not like.
Yeah.
Go grab a pretzel or anything.
No, she's not. She's not. Well, he asks that. Yeah. It's a very playful book. Is she heading to the Blue Note?
Right. I don't know. Who knows where they're headed? Right.
Dave Eggers and Sean Harris is the illustrator.
That sounds very fun. It is Her Right Foot by Dave Eggers and Sean Harris, and it's published by Chronicle, and it's a beautiful book. Well, you can find out more information about the Chatham Bookstore by going online and going to chathambookstore.com, is how we pronounce it in the States, chathambookstore.com. You can also visit them at 27 Main Street, and this is ideal, right, at 27 Main Street in Chatham to go and see what they're up to there. Sherry, Thomas, thank you so much for sharing with us. I hope you have a beautiful weekend, and I thank you
so
much
for
being with us.
Do we have time for a couple of announcements?
Sure.
Thank you.
Two events. Tomorrow, Chris Gibson joins us with his book, A Rally Point for a Signature, from 1 to 2:30.
Yep.
And on November 11th, we have Al Roker coming with his children's book, Extreme Weather.
Excellent. Extreme Weather. And is it a scary book for kids about weather or no?
No, it's his understanding of weather and trying to explain it to kids. Why does extreme weather come?
Al Roker's in town. Well, that'll be fun.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. And you can find out more information by going to chathambookstore.com. Chathambookstore.com. Sherry, Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Be well.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.